Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Hey, Scott Spears in studio today with Jeff Ruth and Mary Ellen Withrow remembering legendary broadcaster Charlie Evers, which, by the way, we're going to do all morning. Jeff and Mary Ellen are with us for the duration. Next hour, we're going to be joined by Glenn Coble, Brenda Donegan from the Marion Star calling in at 10:30, David Newell, Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood calling in at 11:15 this morning, and Dennis Garrigan, former WMRN employee who worked with Charlie Evers for many years, will be calling in about 10 minutes, so don't miss that. And we had Bob Bender yesterday call in. I thank Bob for calling in and sharing his memories of Charlie. Do want to mention very quickly that this weekend, I think this is certainly unprecedented here, starting at 1 o'clock on Friday, and I think there will only be three exceptions all weekend, starting at 1 o'clock on Friday until 8 a.m. Monday morning, we're going to go into the WWGH Radio Archive and pick the best shows that Charlie did over the last 6 years. So all weekend, Charlie Evers this weekend, starting at 1 p.m. on Friday.
Somebody's going to be busy.
That's exactly right. Somebody will be busy this weekend. But the best of Charlie all weekend. And I don't even. We're going to let the machine randomly pick them, because whether Charlie had a celebrity guest or he was doing trivia or he was just talking about what interested him, it's a good show. So Charlie, all weekend, starting at 1 p.m. on Friday.
So you won't go in and specifically pick out each one?
No, you know, and
it's sort of like buying lottery tickets. Sometimes you let the machine pick the numbers.
Well, I could have done it that way, but I thought to myself, if I go through and pick out what I thought was interesting, you know, he did 3,000 hours here.
Yeah.
There were some shows that I've forgotten where he was just funny and having a good time. Yeah. So I thought, let the rand. There'll be, I don't know how many shows that'll be. It'll be pretty close to 60 shows in that time period. So tune in this weekend, because all you're going to hear, with the exception of, I think, of 3 hours this weekend, is Charlie Evers all weekend, starting at 1 o'clock on Friday and until 8 a.m. Monday morning. Now, also, Adam Lepp, program show host here, and also our webmaster, has put together a two-hour biography, The Best of Charlie Evers, clips of all of his greatest moments. I believe it's called Charlie Evers Born to Broadcast, and tentatively that will air tomorrow night on this station from 4 until 6 p.m. It's a two-hour broadcast. 4 to 6 p.m., Charlie Evers Born to Broadcast, Best of Charlie on this station for 6 years. So it'll be a highlight show, and we thank Adam for that. He just started putting that together, yes, Memorial Day, and it's done and ready to go, and we think it will air tomorrow 4 to 6 p.m., and tomorrow morning on this show, we will continue to remember Charlie. We have some special guests lined up. We don't have the total confirmation on that. Maybe we will before the show's out today, but we will have people in tomorrow remembering Charlie. So don't miss tomorrow morning's show. Now, that's the housekeeping. And, you know, I do want to mention again, because I think it's very important, that Charlie leaves behind not only a family of listeners and a family of coworkers, but also his family. The women who were in his life. He didn't have a son. He had three daughters, Kathy, Amy, and Angie, and his wife, Jeannie, who were all there with him and stepped up when he was not feeling well in the last month. And I know he was all very proud of all them, and I know they were very proud of him. So Amy, Angie, Kathy, and Jeannie, I know you're out there listening, and we send our thoughts to you, and we hope you enjoy what is going on here during a very tough time in your life. It's tough to lose your dad or your wife, no matter the age. I want to talk a little bit about this, because you know Charlie's family, Jeff, to some degree. It's all women. Charlie was surrounded by women, three daughters and a wife. He had a good home life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Dennis, when he calls in, because Dennis's children were about the same age, as Charlie's youngest daughters, and I'm sure Dennis will probably talk a little bit about that. I mean, I knew who they were, but I mean, they never really came by the radio station or anything like that. Now, if Charlie was doing a remote or something like that, he might bring the girls along or something like that.
Well, I always thought it was interesting because a lot of people in broadcasting don't have, you know, they love it because it's number one in their life. But I don't, you know, Charlie had a home life. He had grandkids. He had great-grandkids. He had things at home that could interest him as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which was a great thing.
Yeah.
How much do you think Charlie loved broadcasting? He did it till he was 85.
Well, I think that you just answered the question.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, I did it, you know, I started, well, 79 here, but worked for a couple of years in radio before I came here. And I've done 40-plus years. I didn't miss it when I stepped away like I thought I would. I mean, I miss talking to a lot of the people, like, on a weekly basis or a monthly basis. I kind of miss going out to some of the community events, but I don't miss getting up at 4:30 in the morning, and I don't miss those, you know, 5 or 6 hour days on the air, especially if you had to work till noon. And, you know, there were a lot of evenings. Of course, I enjoyed, obviously, the ball games and so forth. But it was not, obviously, an 8-to-5 job. I don't think I would have wanted an 8-to-5 job. But I haven't missed it like I thought I would.
Mary Ellen, from somebody, obviously, who loved her job and heard Charlie in action, how much do you think he loved being behind the microphone?
Oh, I think he loved it. I really do, yeah. You know, I used to see, I had grandchildren that went to River Valley, and I'd see him at the River Valley events. He was watching his grandchildren, too.
You know, he would talk about his grandkids,
yes,
on the air.
Yeah.
He loved going to their events, and I think mm-hmm. he loved when they were in plays or pageants or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because that was kind of his area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Charlie, I really do define him in a way as a performer.
An entertainer. Yeah.
Exactly
mm-hmm.
right.
Yeah.
When he got behind the microphone or gave a speech,
mm-hmm.
it was entertaining.
Yes. Yeah.
That's an interesting facet to him. What do you think made him entertaining?
It was just his nature.
Yeah.
It was born in him. Yeah. I didn't know his parents at all, but I kind of wondered what they were like. You know, when you have an interesting individual like Charlie, did he have interesting parents? Were they like him, or did he just kind of evolve?
You know? Yeah. Yeah. And Charlie did have siblings. It wasn't like he was an only child. So it wasn't that syndrome that we hear a lot of time, that only children are more demonstrative as life goes on. What do you heard Charlie give many a speech, Jeff. What made him entertaining? Is it just inbred?
It's not anything. You don't go to school to learn to be entertaining. You either have it or you don't, I think. And Charlie had it.
Yeah. And his interest.
In fact, I want you to talk about the election story.
And I'm going to do the. Oh, well, this is true. When we started this station, we've now done 6 election nights. And the first year, we thought we'd send Charlie down to the Board of Elections to get the results. And the Board of Elections are where you get the first results. And
I've been going to the Board of Elections probably 30 years.
Right. And so you would see Charlie down there.
Usually there was somebody from the Marion Star, Charlie and I. We were the only 3 down there. And you wait on the results. Sometimes you get the first results at 8. Sometimes it's 20 to 10. You never know.
Right. And this is important because we're all back at the studio waiting to hear the first results, and you never know when they're going to come. So we gave Charlie a cell phone to go down to the Board of Elections and call in these results. So we're back at the studio, and we see the phone ring. You know, we've been into coverage for about 30 minutes, and it's Charlie. We know the number that's calling in, so we say, I was anchoring that broadcast, and I say, all right, and now we're going to go down to the Board of Elections with Charlie Evers with our first batch of results. And he got on the, and I don't think he'd even looked at the papers yet. And so he called in, and he said, well, Scott, I just have the papers in my hand right now, so let me go through these for a second, and then I'll let you know what I see. Now we're live on the air. Yeah,
and I'm right near him, and I haven't called back yet because I'm going through in order what the important issues were or whatever, and I'm kind of chuckling with what Charlie is doing.
And I said, well, Charlie, you know, I think that year was a... 2014 would have been the first year, and I believe it was a mayoral year. And I remember, I said, well, Charlie, what about the mayor's race? And he, well, let me try to find it on this sheet here. So, but you know what? It was entertaining. That's the entertaining thing. He made it entertaining. But it went that way every time. And that's why we ended up, when we do election coverage here, we never break away. And that all started with Charlie down at the Board of Elections, because then we'd spend 30 minutes talking, trying to decipher the report that had come from Charlie and having a good time. But I think he liked that. I think he liked being off the cuff. I think he would not have been somebody who would have said, okay, well, Mayor Schertzer has 4,000 votes, and, you know, no. It was, well, what is the percentage on that, and what are we, that's Charlie. Yeah. You know, that's, and he was the perfect person for that job. Now, our first guest is here, and I'm going to let Jeff do the intro here. He's already on the line because he knows this gentleman more than I do, but certainly somebody who knew Charlie well.
Dennis, how are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I have not seen Dennis. You left Marion in what year?
I left Marion in 2000. I was at WMRN for 10 years as news director and worked with Charlie, of course, and you and Marianne Michaels. And then I went to worked at the ad agency, Boddicher's, and worked at Ohio Northern University in communications, and then kind of went back to where I grew up in the Northeast, and I'm now currently in the Boston area.
Yeah, and I haven't seen you since you left, so it's been 20 years. I did make contact with you last year right before I retired.
Right.
I called you Sunday Monday night, and yes. We ended up we talked for about an hour and a half, and it was so good to get caught up with right. what's going on with your family and so forth. So I enjoyed our talk.
Yeah, and I want to really thank you for inviting me, and Scott, I think you and the media there did a wonderful tribute to Charlie. And I also want to extend that to the family and the kids as well. It was a really nice tribute. And Jeff, you and I were talking last night. The AP story, the Associated Press story, was picked up by the San Francisco Chronicle. So, I mean, Charlie did make some waves, nationally in terms of his interest and his energy. Yep. His energy was just endless.
And we talked a little bit, and I don't want to really dwell on this necessarily, but Charlie left in 80, and then right. was at DIF for about 10 years, and when he came back then around 90, it was sort of like, you know, growing up in the neighborhood, moving away for 10 years, and then coming yes. back, it just wasn't quite the same. And, okay. yeah. you know, some of the people were the same, a lot of people weren't, but that second coming back to WMRN, just, it wasn't, I think in a lot of respects, it wasn't what Charlie had hoped for, maybe what Charlie wasn't expecting, and the last few years weren't as much fun, obviously, for Charlie as his first right. go-around.
Right. You know, and I think part of that, Jeff, was things were rapidly changing in how broadcasting was managed, right? So things were consolidated, processes were consolidated, and you're right. I mean, things became automated to the point that it wasn't really focusing on content, you know, the kind that Charlie was delivering and what people wanted. It was just that was the environment. It had changed, but I was always so the thing was, although I didn't work with Charlie most of my tenure at WMRN, the thing was Charlie and I always interacted. I mean, when you, we were, you know, he then went to WDIF and also wrote some great articles for Newslife and Outlook. So, you know, and I think, you know, his curiosity also, I mean, he was a good writer for his column, and he generated interest. You know, with the advent of cable and the internet tapped into this specialized market. But, you know, before all that, Charlie was doing that. He was tapping into this, you know, interest in history and, you know, manufacturing. And, you know, there, you know, Marion had just a rich, you know, industrial manufacturing history, in addition to, you know, agricultural and you know, just consumer interest. And Charlie tapped into all of that. I was just amazed at his energy and his interest in things. You know, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, we talked last night, and I don't really remember this as much as you do, but tell the story about the situation down in Waldo, where there was a developer that was coming in, talk about that story.
Yeah, I think at the time, Charlie was still doing mornings at WDIF, but he was also writing for Newslife and Outlook, and he had regular contributions to that. So I remember, you know, he was actively, there was a piece of property on State Route 98 in Waldo. It was Columbus Sandusky Pike. It was an old kind of, you know, highway leading up to Lake Erie. And, you know, Charlie knew all about that. But my involvement was on a news story. There was a very old roadhouse or tavern, whatever you want to call it, during the horse and buggy days. And Charles Dickens had visited this place. And I don't know if some of the, you have guests who might recall this, but there was a developer, or the owner wanted it out to make room for a trailer park. Now, I don't know what the property is like now, but Charlie, again, was very active, not only as, you know, the media and a personality, but he was very active in the Marion County Historical Society. And we went down there. Jeff, I don't know if you recall, but we were down there in Waldo every day, it seemed like, because people were standing in front of the property to protect it from being demolished. So there were some folks, I don't know if Charlie was there, but there was a group of folks from the Historical Society that basically had chained themselves to the bulldozer to prevent it from being demolished. And I guess, long story short, it was demolished in the middle of the night when no one was there, but there was kind of a vigil for several days. And I remember talking to Charlie, and, you know, he was like dead serious on this. And he said, you know, and I was sharing my experiences with him, and he said, you know, Dennis, it's important. This is important stuff. This is our heritage. This is our history. So that kind of thing, he was very, very serious. I don't know, you know, some of your other guests or Scott may have similar experiences with Charlie. But, I mean, he was humorous. He had a great sense of humor. But there were certain, you know, maybe because of, you know, my involvement in news and public affairs specifically, that's where those things he was very serious about.
And back then, I mean, we were a news station of, you know, with, mm-hmm. with what you did and with Marianne and, of course, the Morning Magazine segment. And, right. You know, you checked your sources and you checked them again and you checked them again. And there was a lot of the news has changed a lot in the last 20 years, obviously. You know, now if it's on Facebook, well, it must be true and you go with it. Right. And that's kind of how a lot of stations operate. But back then, it was a different time, and you developed your sources and you double-checked your sources and you triple-checked them and so forth.
Right.
And Charlie just, he seemed to have his pulse on everything in the community.
Yes.
And if somebody had a tip or somebody, you know, heard about, you know, this going on, they'd get a hold of Charlie.
Right, right. You know, that's a good point, Jeff. I don't really know the words to describe it, but Charlie had his, I don't want to say hands, but he was kind of, he had these tentacles or you know, he set out these waves, you know, like radio waves to people and tapped into that, you know. And I know from, you know, my experience with him at WMRN when he was there for the last 3 years, when he came back, and then also his experience with WDIF, he would, if there was a breaking news story or something was happening, he would tap into that, you know, and that's something I, you know, learned from Charlie as well, is like, if you're live, people are listening, ask them what they're seeing, right? This is radio. And I remember having endless discussions with him because he was an avid ham radio operator. You know, it's like, how does this radio thing work? You know, there's no wires, right? I mean, I'm still like a wide-eyed child about how, you know, radio works. And I think, you know, there have been also studies in terms of the listening part is basically comprehension is enhanced with radio. People remember things more through radio, or the spoken word, let's say. And that's a very powerful tool. I think it's underrated, but, you know, we just would have discussions about this. Charlie and I both had kids in school in River Valley. I lived in Caledonia. He lived in Clarendon. So, you know, off air, we were both involved in our kids' programs, and he was so very supportive of that. But the one thing we used to joke about is, like, when our kids were little, you know, they would say, why is Daddy, you know, like, here in front of us, and he's coming out of that box? So it's just some funny things. But the historical aspect, heritage, legacy, whatever you want to call it, he's very serious about that.
Yeah, and of course, we were, you know, the Lady Justice kind of preceded both of us.
Right.
It happened about the time that I came here. But, you know, the things he'll be remembered for, you know, the peanut push and the thousands of dollars that he raised and just the goofy things that he did. And, of course, Buckeye Chuck and, you know, the refurbishing of Evers Arena. And
right.
There were just so many things that he was involved in. And, you know, we talked earlier about the Marion County Fair. He just loved being with the kids.
Yes. Now, and you know, the thing is, there was, when, you know, the historical aspect, things really, you mentioned how radio has changed and evolved. You know, I caught a little bit of this, but, and you recall, Jeff, when we started, you had to have a third-class FCC radio operator's license. If you even touched a microphone,
yeah.
Right? So, and they abolished that. That was, you know, and you had to take a test.
Yeah.
Now, the first class was for an engineer, in which Charlie was. But I know when Charlie started, you know, everything was very stratified. You know, there was an announcer in a booth. You know, there was copywriters, you know, and there was people who touched the equipment. There was engineers. And as you know, Jeff, women, there was definitely some bias in terms of women in broadcasting in the media, especially, you know, when Charlie started. But everything was very stratified. If you were an announcer, you could not touch a microphone.
Yeah.
You know, there was an engineer who you know, gave you cues and so forth. So, you know, things have changed a lot since then, and now you can do just about anything. But,
yeah.
You know, when we came, you and I came up, you had to take a FCC license. You have to get certified.
I don't know about you, but I flunked my first time.
Oh, did you?
So I had to go back and take it a second time.
Right.
And of course, you know, Charlie was at WMRN, you know, for a long period of time before he ever got on the air. And as you said, you know, it was, you know, we both knew Joe Peters, and you know, you had to take meter readings like every 3 hours, and boy, if you were a minute late, he'd jump all over you.
Yes, and that was the culture. And, you know, this is kind of like inside baseball stuff, but that was the culture. These were the requirements of, and you know, anyone who's in radio is still fascinated by being on the air. I just don't know how to describe it. It's either, you know, it's kind of a natural high in a way. but it's just fascinating. And I think Charlie took that endless curiosity and tapped into that fascination for radio, you know, and he just developed it. He brought us all along with it, you know.
Do you have a favorite Charlie story? And then I'll let you go.
I will say that, you know, and this is more of a personal observation, he was just so supportive of not only his own family, but the kids and you know, and bringing along the community and having, you know, decent, you know, thinking people in the community. So I think he kind of spread that, you know, that endless curiosity, intellectual curiosity, and you know, the golden rule type stuff. And you know, he just gave a lot of himself as well.
Scott, did you have a question for Dennis?
Well, Dennis, thank you so much for calling in this morning. But how do you think... Well, first I want to say this, because I think you might find this story interesting. Right before Charlie left the airwaves, we had a Republican kind of dust-up here in town. There was a meeting, and because talk about the seriousness of Charlie, that he did have a serious side. The head of the Republican Party was accused of throwing one of the candidates who he didn't like out of this fundraiser that was going on here in town. And this had happened on a Thursday night. Well, my shift is over at 10 o'clock in the morning, and Charlie came on from 10 to noon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is really just about 6-8 weeks ago this happened. It was really right toward the end of his career. And I remember at 10 o'clock, we finally got the call that she wanted to call in. And she wanted to talk about that. Well, that's a big deal that she's going to come here first and talk about being thrown out of this meeting. And I said, mm-hmm. Well, Charlie, your show's on the air. You know, you go ahead and take care of it. Because he was fully equipped to do that. And he said, no. He said, you come on. I don't care about my show. And he sat here, and he engineered the board while I sat across from him and interviewed her. And the funny thing of it was, people loved Charlie so much, when this 30-minute interview was over, off the cuff, I turned it back over to Charlie. The first caller was somebody saying, well, geez, you know, why did we have to postpone Charlie's show for 30 minutes? And Charlie said, no, this is news, and I'm happy to do that.
Right. And that incident in Waldo was the same way, because I believe at the time he was writing and on the air for WDIF and News Life. And we conferred a lot. And, you know, and also at that time, it was friendly competition between WMRN and WDIF, Bob Bender and Charlie and I and Jeff and the people who were at WMRN. We were all friends. We got along. But there was a lot of this kind of political, you know, dust-ups, as you said, that went on during the news and public affairs side of things. So that was important to Charlie, having a legacy, being fair, being objective when it came to the news, and a balanced approach. And he was serious. When he touched the news cycle, if you will, he was very serious about that.
Well, and I will just say this, we covered, because the Republican convention was in Ohio back in 2016, and we covered that, and I went up there with three or four people, and we would call into Charlie's show, and for people who thought that Charlie was just agriculture and trivia
right.
and a good time, he asked me questions. You know, what did you think last night of the Cruz speech? I watched it at home. What did you think of Trump's speech? What did you think of the protesters yeah. outside? He knew what was going on. He was so much more than
yeah.
what he might have portrayed on the air.
Right. And, you know, it's what, you know, what they refer to people, a Renaissance man or a Renaissance person. Charlie was definitely that. You know, he would ask questions for all of us, you know, whether we were at MRN or WDIF or NewsLife. There was kind of this, you know, what did you find out on that? You know, kind of what was the stuff you didn't, you couldn't report? Or, you know, he there was always questions about that. He was always engaged all the time. And that's why I was so saddened to hear the news of his passing. So it's a great loss. It really, really is. And as I said, the ripple effect of his death was, you know, nationwide. You know, he had that impact.
Well, and that's the question I want to part with you here on, Dennis. You know, unfortunately, we never know when you're a public figure, and certainly Charlie was that for well over 50 years, how you're going to be remembered. And I look at the Columbus Dispatch. I look at the Marion Star front page. I look at the Associated Press article that came out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You saw it in the Chronicle in San Francisco.
Right.
And it's all over the country today because it went out yesterday. How is he going to be remembered?
I'd say endless curiosity. That to me, that, you know, that describes Charlie in all forms. And, you know, he always brought a sense of humor to it. You know, let's not get too serious about things, but be serious when it's important. So those would be the two words for me. And that we all should be endlessly curious.
Absolutely. Dennis, thank you so much for calling.
Good meeting you, Scott.
Flights aren't headed out to Boston anytime soon, but when they do, we definitely want to do lunch.
Definitely. Thanks. And just, I know you guys are in touch with the family. Please send my regards. And I'm just very sad to hear that. I hope that, I applaud what you're doing in terms of this. You know, we've all, you know, whether it's, you know, due to the virus or not, we're kind of in a handicapped situation in terms of, you know, memorializing people. So I just want to applaud you folks for doing that and putting some public tribute when we can't, you know, with distancing and the coronavirus, that we can't really properly memorialize the passing of Charlie in this case.
Great. Very well said, Dennis. Appreciate the time, and we'll be back in touch, okay?
Okay. Thanks, folks.
Thank you, Dennis.
Dennis Garrigan, a major factor in the history of WMRN for sure. Mary Ellen, you know, that story, I'd totally forgotten that, but it was really one of his last programs that whole dust-up at the Republican fundraiser had gone on, and Charlie was interested in that sort of thing.
Yes, uh-huh. Well, you know, he had the ability to really bring out the news in a good way, and I tell you, I remember, I just wanted to mention this, he would not particularly have any special item to talk about when he came to Primrose, but he started talking about growing vegetables and growing tomatoes, and Norman started telling him that he liked green tomato sandwiches. So every time that Charlie came, then for the next couple of months after that, he would bring him a bag of tomatoes, and he was so kind, you know.
I never, you know, we talk about that famous voice of Charlie's, and he did have a famous voice. I never heard him raise his voice. I knew him for 15 years on mm-hmm. and off camera, or on and off the microphone. I never heard him yell. I never heard him get, maybe his kids heard him yell, but I've never heard Charlie Evers even have the slightest bit of anger. Had you ever seen it, Jeff?
No, that's a very good point to bring up. I mean, we worked with some people at the station.
Oh, boy.
You can't say that about. No. But no, you didn't get that from Charlie at all.
You never got that. I'm going to go to, I'm not sure who this is, but we'll take the call. Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I'm guessing that's me.
Yes, you are on the air.
Oh, great. So I'm just driving through Marion. I did a little work today at the Whirlpool plant, but I knew Charlie from about 30 years ago when the Big Banana was in town.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the owner had a big contract with one of the other radio stations where Charlie was working, I believe, at the time, and then Charlie left there. And the owner, probably close to Charlie's age, liked him so much that he moved his advertising over to, I think Charlie went back to WMRS.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was always great for our business.
Oh,
always.
Yeah, the Big Banana, yeah.
Yep.
You know, for somebody who had listened to Charlie and would see him just in a social setting, how would you describe the man?
Down home.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Charlie.
Down home, yeah. Did he know a stranger?
Not that I ever knew of.
Yeah, yeah, and he also used to do, I don't know when he ever had the time, frankly, but shake shingles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he loved to do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was, and boy, did he go to did he listen to the beat of his own drummer?
You know, he did.
And you can't forget his bicycles across Ohio, raising money for the Cancer Society.
That's right. Oh, this guy was phenomenal. He was phenomenal. That's too bad. And there aren't many of those guys left, and Marion has no idea what they've lost.
I think we would all echo that.
Yeah, just a phenomenal human being, in my opinion. But thank you very much for taking my call.
No, thank you for calling. Yep. We appreciate that.
Appreciate that. And
no worries. Yep.
Thank you.
And for some that don't know, every year he would bike across Ohio and raise money. One year he might start in Michigan and go to Kentucky. Next year he might start at the Indiana border and go to Pennsylvania. And raising thousands and thousands of dollars. And it would always be about the second week in May. And second week in May, as you know, in Ohio, weather can be a little iffy. And I remember him coming through Marion, and he stopped out at what's now Kingston on a Friday about noon, and I went out to cover it and interview him. And, I mean, there were ice pellets that morning. I think the wind chill was probably in the low 20s, mid-20s. It was just awful weather. It was raining. And, you know, he started out that morning in, like, Ashland, and they were ending up in, like, Circleville that day. And it's like, you know, an Olympic athlete would have trouble doing that. And here's Charlie at the age of 65, bicycling across the state of Ohio.
And by the way, he did not stop bicycling because he was still getting on the bike when he started here. I don't think he stopped till about 82 or 83. So he was still out there. He loved to go. He loved to get on a bicycle on the weekend and just go somewhere.
Yeah.
And then come back and tell the story about where he had been. That was Charlie. Mary Ellen, it's interesting because Charlie's big accomplishments that we all remember and that are printed in all these articles are clearly Buckeye Chuck. They are the Peanut Push. They are Lady Justice on back atop the courthouse. They are the Evers Arena. Now, all of that was before Jeff came to town, and all that preceded me, or just about that time period. But you were here when all that was going on.
Yes.
What were his exploits and adventures like to the people who were listening?
Oh, everybody was fascinated with it. I mean, we just loved to listen to, the Peanut Push, and, of course, Buckeye, whatever. And
Chuck, Buckeye Chuck,
Buckeye,
yeah.
Buckeye Chuck, yeah. Yeah, and those things were his ideas, and they will be his forever.
You know, Mary Ellen, when I think about it, we talk about the money that he raised. The Bikes Across Ohio were about the Cancer Society, the Peanut Push is about Junior Service Guild.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what total amount of money he's raised, but I would bet it's, geez, Jeff, where would you say it is? Half a million? After all these years?
Again, it's hard to say.
It's probably there, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, for somebody who's had to do fundraising and done charity events, Mary Ellen, what does that say about the man?
Well, it says what a great job he could do when he wanted to do something. I mean, a lot of people would like to do these things and it doesn't happen, but he was able to do it, and that's really a remarkable thing.
You know, not being from Marion, being from Bucyrus, and none of us know the answer to this, really, why do you think he took Marion into his heart? What do you think it was?
I don't know. I can't answer that. He had probably maybe somebody that he liked was here, and he came to Marion. That's probably it.
You know, I know Martha Dowse is out there listening this morning, and Charlie used to love to tell this story. Charlie knew Martha's parents, and Martha's parents could not. Now, you got to remember, radios in those days were a little different. They did not know how to tune their radio, and they would call the radio station, and Charlie told this on the air. They would call the radio station, and it's Charlie who they listened to, so they said, Charlie, could you come over and tune our radio? And he would do it. He would go to their house and tune their radio for them. And this was an ongoing thing. And when the dial would get turned, Charlie would go over and he would tune that radio again. Same. I thought about that when you were talking about Norman and the tomatoes.
Yeah, right.
He just, if he knew somebody liked something or needed, yeah. I don't think he knew how to say no. It's interesting.
Do we have a minute?
Yeah, we have a minute.
Okay, because Mary Ellen was talking about Charlie going out to Primrose. And when Brenda Donegan was at Primrose, she asked me if I would come out once a month. I think it was the fourth Thursday from like 1 to 2. Just talk a little bit, you know, start out history of WMRN and eventually kind of branch out like Charlie did. And I remember going out that first Thursday, and this was a few years ago, and there might have been 6 or 7 people there. And by the time I got done, 2 of them had left and 3 of them had fallen asleep. And the one I wasn't sure was alive or was dead. And I called Brenda the next day and I said, Brenda, I said, this just isn't working. I said, there wasn't anybody, you know, they could have cared less if I was there. She said it was right after lunch and they had the fireplace on.
Yeah.
So that made it even worse. And she said, don't worry about it. She said that the ones over there were fine. So I went back and eventually a few more people started to come. But, I mean, that was one of those things, you know, I would try to work up. We talked about being structured. I mean, I would try to work up, and I'd go to the library and maybe look up old things to talk about. Charlie, just come in, sit down, and away he'd go.
Absolutely. Jeff Ruth is here. Mary Ellen Withrow is here. We're going to be joined next hour by Glenn Coble. And speaking of Brenda Donegan, she'll be calling in next hour. Stay tuned. We pay tribute to the one and only broadcasting icon in Marion, Charlie Evers. We continue with the tribute in 10 minutes.
I thought I'd found true love. You met another, and you was gone.